Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Calling It NFL Roundup Week 1. This is something new we're going to be doing this season. Just kind of go through the games each and every NFL Sunday. We plan to be doing it in this time spot between the end of Red Zone and the beginning of Sunday Night Football. It may vary, but we hope you'll join us each and every week. Now, Alex Lebowitz is busy, but we have even better Matt McCarthy from 98.5 The Sports Hub joining us. Matt, football's back. What'd you think of today's games?
My biggest takeaway is that there are a lot of offenses around the NFL who are just really, really, really bad. I mean, good God, that Colts game was awful. Jacoby Brissett, apparently now the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. How about the Jets? They were certainly awful as well. So a lot of really, really bad offenses around the league. Not too many great games. That Seattle game was certainly great in Green Bay. So maybe a little disappointing for week one, but overall good to have football back.
Absolutely. And we'll start with what was probably one of those most shocking offensive lack of performances, we'll call it. The game that stuck out to me was almost at St. Louis. Wow. The Los Angeles Rams versus the Indianapolis Colts in an absolute trouncing. The Rams took them out behind the woodshed. I'm sitting here trying to, and normally you can tell in a game like that if one team is really good or it's just the other team is really bad. I couldn't tell. Are the Rams better than we're giving them credit for? Or is this Colts team going to be right there with the Jets for one of the worst teams of all time? I was dumbfounded by this game. I didn't expect it to be pretty football, but I didn't think we were going to see that.
Yeah, what they put up, 46, 49 points? We should say the 49ers, right? Because that's who Chuck Pagano
exactly.
thinks they're
I think it was.
Today.
I saw it was 46 to, I believe, 10, but they only scored, they being the Rams, they only scored 44 points in their final four games last season. They put up more than that in this game.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, man, that Colts team, what a complete disaster. I mean, let's be completely honest here, Alex. I mean, this was a team that just 2 years ago was in the AFC Championship game against the Patriots. I mean, it really wasn't that long ago, 2.5 years ago now. What's happened to that franchise is just completely embarrassing. What Ryan Grigson has done, the way they've handled the Andrew Luck injury, you know, talk about ruining your franchise quarterback. Now, all of a sudden, Jacoby Brissett is essentially your starting quarterback. It is amazing how far that team has fallen to the point where they are getting absolutely trounced by the Los Angeles Rams, a team that I don't think is going to be any good this year. And I don't think, you know, many people are exactly on the Rams bandwagon, except for, you know, the few and the proud Rams fans there, you know, maybe all 10,000 of them. But man, that was that is something else that really, I mean, put it this way, Alex. I mean, I didn't even think the Colts were going to win today. I mean, you're starting Scott Tolzien. I didn't see them losing, what, 46-9, 49-9. I don't even know what the final score was because it doesn't matter. It is entirely irrelevant, just like the Indianapolis Colts at this point.
46-9. Speaking of other teams that don't really have an answer at quarterback, the Jets and the Bills. Bills take that one 21-12. The Jets hung in this, and I honestly think that says more about the Bills than the Jets. I said on the Calling It podcast this week, I don't think the Jets will be the worst team in the NFL. They have too much concentrated talent on their defense. I think that ends up slipping them into a couple of games. But the Bills should have had their way with them, and that really wasn't the case. The Jets had a lead in this game at one point. I think if you're a Bills fan, especially, and we're waiting to hear back on what's going on with LeSean McCoy, but if you're a Bills fan, you need to be really worried about what this team is going to do this year. You see the egg New England lays on Thursday night. You think maybe, just maybe, this is your chance to become, once again, remember, the Bills used to be the taste of the AFC East, and you have to battle with the New York Jets?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, look at the moves that they made in training camp, though. That's a team that's trying to rebuild. That was an ugly game. I tried watching part of it. I mean, I just couldn't. I mean, thank God the Eagles and the Redskins were on here in the local market so we could watch that. That Bills-Jets game was just horrendous. I mean, that Bills team really is not going to be any good at all. They're significantly better than the Jets. Not that they 100% showed it today, but that Bills team is not going to be worth a watch this year. Tyrod Taylor can be exciting at times. LeSean McCoy, of course, is exciting. But that Bills team's really not very good at all. So that was a pretty garbage matchup, and it just goes to show you what you have in the AFC East. It is maybe as worse, as bad as it's ever been, and that's saying something because it's been bad for approaching two decades.
You're watching the Calling It Roundup, NFL Week 1 Roundup. We're joined by Matt McCarthy of 98.5 The Sports Hub. The Falcons and the Bears, as we continue to go through the scoreboard. I predicted a Super Bowl hangover for the Falcons. I think they're going to finish right around 500, but the Bears gave them a game, and after Matthew Stafford cashes in the offseason, plays like crap. You had Andrew Luck cash in a couple of years ago. He didn't play. one of the most ridiculous contracts was Mike Glennon under the radar, and he played pretty well today. I liked what I saw from the Chicago Bears. This is not a joke of a team like some people thought. And I liked what I saw from Mike Glennon. I'll say it. I'm not afraid. He was good.
All right, well, you got to get off the Mike Glennon train. I'm telling you that right now, Alex.
Okay, if Mike Glennon has a train, it's like the little choo-choo in the mall that goes round and round and round for the kids. But I thought he played well today. I thought he was one of the better quarterbacks today. And I'm gonna start there. But I thought he was one of the better quarterbacks today.
Compared to who? Jacoby Brissett and Josh McCown. I mean, look at some of the quarterbacks.
This is blasphemy. He was better than Brady this week. I can't believe
all right, well,
that, but
you can stand by your Mike Glennon thing there. Listen, I think the Falcons are a mortal lock, the mortal lock of the millennium to go 6-10 this year. They have Super Bowl hangover written all over them. I am not ready to buy in on the Chicago Bears, not at all. Even if they showed you a little something today, I'm sorry, that Falcons team, I don't buy them at all this year. I mean, they just scream Super Bowl hangover. So I'm not going to sit here and overreact to the Bears hanging in there with the defending NFC champions to say that all of a sudden they've turned things around a little bit. Sorry, not in on Mike Glennon, not one bit.
I wouldn't say I'm in, but they've piqued my interest. There's always that. Well, I'm not in, but they've piqued my interest. Look, they could come out next week and get steamrolled and be like, all right, it was a nice 1 week story. But there's always that one team with the surprise turnaround. I will follow them a little more closely next week. I am interested in what. How about Tariq Cohen, that rookie running back? He was a lot of fun to watch.
Let me know because you say you're going to watch the Chicago Bears. That's fine.
I'm not saying I'm going to watch. I'm saying I'm going to follow a little bit more closely. But okay, I think right. I've unfortunately put myself in the Chicago Bears bandwagon.
Exactly. You have a penchant for bad football apparently, because if you're going to be watching that Bears team all year, again, just keep me posted.
Here's somebody I'm absolutely out on, and everybody in the NFL should be out on, and that's the Cincinnati Bengals, who may have been the worst team on the field today, and that's saying something given the way the Colts played and given the way the Houston Texans played. Bengals get shut out 20-0 by the Ravens, who I don't think are that good of a team either. These are two of the teams I have dark horse for, a top five draft pick this year, and the Bengals played so bad, Marvin Lewis may be on his way to a contract extension. I have no idea what the direction is with this team. Andy Dalton has shown time and time again he's not a quarterback that's going to get you. He's an NFL quarterback, but he's not going to get you anywhere that you want to be. They were undisciplined. They were taking bad penalties throughout the game. They were missing assignments left and right on defense. An absolute disaster. Look, I am way more in on the Bears than the Bengals. I think the Bengals are a much worse team. That was embarrassing today for them. And the Bengals are a franchise that has a history of embarrassing themselves.
I'll tell you what, Alex. You know how they used to say, teach your kid how to throw left-handed and you'll always have a career in professional sports? No, if your kid can be a mediocre quarterback, you're going to make a lot of money. And that is that is the Andy Dalton situation right there. Four interceptions? Are you kidding me? Oh, man. I mean, the garbage barge is back on the Ohio. And that is
and it's
that
not
is
like
Andy
it's
Dalton.
Not like you
Captain
can say
Dalton
they weren't his
the,
fault.
At the helm.
Yeah, a bad look for them elsewhere in the AFC North. This seemed to be the theme today. Established playoff contenders letting the underdog stick around. 21-18, Pittsburgh goes into Cleveland, takes care of the Browns, but a little closer than they would have wanted. And I was impressed. I thought Deshaun Kaiser was going to come out and be a bust. I didn't see the NFL upside for him in college. He looked good today. That young defense had their moments. They got to Ben Roethlisberger a couple of times. The Browns, and I'm not saying I'm in on the Browns. I'm not saying I'm interested before you put words on my mouth, but I thought they had a good offseason, and it showed today. They're not ready yet to step on the same field as Pittsburgh. They played well above what I thought they would, but for the first time in maybe a decade, there is a blueprint visible as to what the Browns are trying to build towards, I thought. You have to be happy if you're a Browns fan today, even though you lost.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, listen, division games are tough in the NFL. We know that. I mean, how many times will you see the Patriots go out there and the Jets, say, for example, last year, will play them tough in a game? Those types of things happen. I'm not going to overreact to, Pittsburgh only winning by 3 points over Cleveland. Division games are just really tough in the NFL. But here's my question with Pittsburgh, though, Alex. Is Ben Roethlisberger totally in this year? He's been floating around retirement. You have to be 100% in to be a quarterback in the NFL. How sold is he on the idea? I mean, was he, 100% committed in training camp? I mean, is he, you know, absolutely committed to be an elite quarterback, to, you know, to have that level of commitment this season when he's got the idea of retirement? Hey, this might be my final year. That's just something to monitor in Pittsburgh. I'm not saying that, you know, that played anything into, you know, how today's game turned out for Pittsburgh, only winning by 3 over Cleveland. I'm just saying it's something to monitor.
I'm wondering, you could throw in health too. I wonder how healthy he is. And yeah. I said that on our season preview on calling it last week. I don't know if he's going to play 16 games this year. And that seems to be a concern with all of their playmakers.
And you know, he's not a guy who can move around the way he once did anymore too. I mean, he's kind of a bit of a sitting duck in the pocket back there. So if he takes some hits, and he's always taken some hits, he's never, you know, shied away from it. He's certainly the type of guy who gets beat up over the course of the year. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened again this year.
I talked about before the Bengals were one of maybe the two worst teams in the NFL this week. Houston Texans, Calais Campbell had 3.5 sacks at halftime. He's casually on pace for 116 sacks this year. Yeah. You know, if you follow those kind of metrics, but they get blown out by the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I didn't think looked that good either, but blown out by the Jaguars 29-7. I don't think we need to talk much about this game other than the NFL is having trouble with the Thursday night football ratings. Matt, the Thursday night football game this upcoming week, the first Thursday night, Cincinnati and Houston. Are you going to watch that?
No. Listen, I don't watch Thursday night football unless the Patriots are playing on Thursday night in general, and I'm certainly not watching that matchup. The AFC South just continues to insult and disgust football fans everywhere. I mean, that is just god awful. You know, if Deshaun Watson can come in and give the Texans anywhere near half decent quarterback play, they will run away with that division. But man, Tom Savage, brutal. That line today, brutal. I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars coming into your house and rolling you like that should never happen. That was a shameful performance by the Houston Texans today. I did not see that one coming, even with Tom Savage under center. And he, as we all know, is not any good.
Yeah, especially with the emotional high they really should have been on today. And you saw the awesome footage of J.J. Watt coming out of the tunnel in the aftermath of the hurricane. I thought that was a great moment, one of the early great moments of this NFL season. But yeah, just not a good look for Houston. I don't even know if Tom Savage was that bad. I'm watching the game. I'm trying to figure out, you know, a way to evaluate him. And he's just off his back foot the entire game. I was surprised they put Deshaun Watson. I would have never put my rookie quarterback behind that kind of protection, in quotes, because it really was a lack of. The winner in that game was Duane Brown, because he's holding out right now. They're starting left tackle. He's going to get a big fat check in the mail come Monday morning. One more AFC game in the 1 o'clock slate. It was the Raiders and the Titans. These are two teams projected to win their divisions, possibly meet in the playoffs. Titans hung in it early. Raiders pulled away late. I don't know if you saw the Michael Crabtree touchdown, Matt, where he caught the ball at the 5 and then just did his best LeGarrette Blount impression, carrying the entire Titans defense into the end zone. Marshawn Lynch looked good. He looked good. Derek Carr doesn't seem to have any issues from that leg injury last year. This Raiders team's legit.
Yeah, that was certainly my biggest takeaway, was Marshawn Lynch and how he looked, and Derek Carr, how he looked coming back from the injury. That is certainly good news for the Raiders. Let's see how they look against a team with a legitimate offense. I'm not 100% buying in on Tennessee.
Not sold
like
on Mariota?
Else. Let's see how they look against a high-powered offense, because I still do not buy that defense. Obviously, we know that Khalil Mack is a game wrecker, but let me see the Raiders against a team that can really go out there and sling it. But a good start for the Raiders, no doubt about that.
Had to like what you saw. Tennessee didn't look bad as a fantasy owner. I'm disappointed DeMarco Murray didn't do more. Matt, you may have to wait to see the Raiders up against a good offense. I didn't even realize this was their schedule, but you tell me when to stop. You tell me when this is an acceptable offense to judge them by, okay? Next week, they're at home against the Jets. Then at the Redskins.
So Redskins?
Redskins.
Kirk Cousins is pretty darn good.
Okay, so
let me see how they look against Cousins.
Okay, but just after that, Broncos, Ravens, Chargers, Chiefs, Bills, Dolphins.
That's not great.
They should be they should be 8-2 at some point.
They might not get their first real test until they play the Patriots in Mexico City, huh?
Well, if the Chiefs are anything like they looked like on Thursday night, that'll be a tough game. But yeah, that's for a team that just won their division, talk about a cakewalk schedule.
Yeah, that's not too bad. What, because they've got because they have the AFC East. So that certainly helps their cause going up against the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Jets. So that certainly helps their cause there. And it sounds like they're playing the NFC East. So,
yeah.
And it sounds like they've got NFC East teams late in the season.
one more NFC game. It is the NFC East, the Eagles and the Redskins. Eagles take this one 30-17. And I loved what I saw from Carson Wentz at times. At times, I was absolutely disgusted. He seemed to be mirroring the guy on the other side, which was Kirk Cousins. This just kind of shows you how bipolar all these NFC East teams are. Pardon me. We'll see two more tonight. We'll get to that in a minute. But today just told me that division's still wide open, because I thought I had the Redskins as my dark horse pick as a power this year, as I do almost every year, because they have the talent. They just need to put it together. They've had the talent the last two or three years on the offside of the ball, on the offensive side of the ball, to be a juggernaut. Jordan Reed, they've got a plethora of receivers. Kirk Cousins is a good player, despite the way the offensive line makes him look. But they just couldn't handle what is a so-so Eagles team today.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, Alex, the Eagles, and maybe I don't have enough logic or reason to back this up this year, the Eagles are kind of my dark horse pick, because the NFC East is always a wide-open division. I love Carson Wentz, and I really like that defense. That defense gets after you, and they got after the Redskins today. If Carson Wentz plays the way that he did today throughout the rest of the season and keeps it going, I really like the Eagles' chances. I think people are underrating them coming into the season, just because I really like that defense. I thought they looked really good today against a good Redskins offense, you know, team with Jordan Reed, and you know, they had Terrell Pryor. I mean, they've got some weapons on offense and a really good quarterback, a quarterback who I think is one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and Kirk Cousins. So I thought the Eagles looked excellent today. I thought the Eagles were one of my big week one winners. I will put them down as my big week one winner.
So we got Matt on the Eagles bandwagon. Very interesting, even with a couple of sloppy turnovers, and they get helped by a phantom fumble call late. Matt McCarthy buying in on the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm sure there's some who are happy to hear that, but we'll see what they can do down the road. Traditionally, a team that starts fast and just doesn't have it come December. Speaking of December, this is going to be a playoff matchup. This was the best game, perhaps, of the day. Seattle Seahawks going into Green Bay, taking on the Packers. Aaron Rodgers looked human early, but he ends up finishing with a pretty good line. Not good enough to save me in fantasy, but 28-42, 311 in a touchdown. And I'm watching this game, I can only think one thing as a Patriots fan. I miss Martellus Bennett. Yep. They needed that intent. The Patriots needed that intensity this week. And boy, it just seemed every third down, he was right there. He was open. Rodgers was finding him. Once again, it seems like the Packers have managed to improve their offense from last year.
Yeah, I think Martellus Bennett is a huge addition. I mean, there's a chance he could become the best tight end that Aaron Rodgers has ever had there. Here were my two big takeaways from the Packers-Seahawks game. This is the game that I saw the most of today. I'm concerned about Seattle's offense.
Really? And I think we've lost Matt, are you still there? Can you hear me? All right, I think we've lost Matt. In the meantime, I'll just finish running through the games here. Carolina Panthers beat the San Francisco Niners 23-3. Although some inconsistencies from Cam Newton, he missed a couple of open players in the end zone. And then tonight, that's all the games that we have seen. Tonight, the Cowboys and the Giants, that's actually gotten underway as we speak. If it's not, oh, do we have Matt back? Matt, nope, we don't. Cowboys and the Giants tonight, NFC East matchup, obviously a big game. A lot of people have these two teams picked atop the division. Ezekiel Elliott will play. That's what a lot of people were waiting to see. He will be active. He will be in this game. So we will see how he looks. And of course, ultimately, you know, week 17, that Sunday night game, that flex game, it seems like it always ends up being for the NFC East. So Giants and Cowboys. Normally that's the last game of the season. This year, it's the first Sunday night game of the season, but always good when those two teams come together. I want to thank Matt. Hopefully he can overcome his internet issues. We'll be back with the show on Monday. Me and Lubbo will be back on Monday. We will be talking. We'll get Lebo's thoughts on the week this week in the NFL. We'll recap the Patriots. And, of course, we'll get into the Red Sox, their win streak, and their cheating scandal. So a little bit of everything there. You can follow the show on Twitter at Calling It Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes. We're on SoundCloud as well. So until Monday, for Matt McCarthy from 98.5 The Sports Hub, I'm Alex Sparr. Thanks for watching. Enjoy Sunday Night Football.